continuing in the laws of brachos. We are following the order of the Shulchan Aruch. Next thing is a Gemara in Maseches Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos in Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph tells us, Amar Leh Ruchisa Rav Yitzchak, Rav Chisa says to Rav Yitzchak, Hai Mishcha Da Part Da Afar Simon, Mai Mevarchan Alai. The Mishcha is the oil of Afar Simon. That what a farsman is a bit of a discussion. So we're going to leave that for a second. So what is the bracha on the oil of a farsimon? My mevarchan alai, what's the bracha? Amar lei. He says to him, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, Borei Shemen Arsenu. The bracha is, blessed is the oil of our land. So he asks him a question, Amar lei, Bar Mined Rabbi Yehuda, Chabiv Alei Eretz Yisrael, Lukulmi Alma Mai. Okay, that's because Rabbi Yehuda loves Eretz Yisrael so much that he makes up crazy brachos about that we should have a bracha that creates the oil of our land. What does that have to do with anything else? He says, no, what does everybody else do when they make this bracha? So he cites, Rav Yitzchak then cites Rav Yochanan. So he says, Amar lei, hachi amar Rav Yochanan, borei shemen arev. We make the blessing of who creates pleasant oil on this mishcha afarsman. Now, what is afarsman? Afarsimon in modern Hebrew is persimmon, so that would be translated as persimmon oil. But that's not what it's talking about. In the Sefer Vezos HaBracha, so he makes it clear that afarsimon in the language of the Gemara is balsam, a type of wood that is a tree that is natural to the land of Israel. And this is balsam oil. And the Mishnah Berurah says, we don't have it over here, but the Mishnah Berurah says that this tree was important because it grew in Eretz Yisrael. And because the balsam tree was so important to Eretz Yisrael, they established a special bracha on this tree that was native to Eretz Yisrael. And the beauty and the fragrant oils that would come from the tree. And the Bach, based on a Rashi, here in Maseches Brachos says, that the balsam tree mainly grew in Yericho. It was native to Yericho. And the Bach then says, this is why the city is called Yericho, because it had a reach, it had a smell of the balsam wood, and that's where the name of the city of Yericho comes from. So a little geography as well, along with the laws of blessings. Okay? Next, the Gemara then goes on to discuss over here the brach you make on that you smell olive oil. So the Gemara says that one would make the brach of Bori Atzei Besamim, on the wood of the tree. It's not clear why. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Shemen Zayish Shekasashu Otachnu Ad Shechazer Recho Nodaf. You grind down olives until it has a very fragrant smell. Mevarach Alav Borei Atzei Bisamim. You would make the bracha of Atzei Bisamim on the olives. However, this would depend on the discussion we had last time regarding the blessings of aromas on foods. And since we don't generally make blessings on the aromas of foods unless you explicitly pick it up to make the bracha on the food for the smell, then it's not going to come up that often anyway.
But here you said they're grinding it to get the oil out, to get the smell.
Well, people use olive oil for the food. That's the main thing that people use olive oil for. So therefore, since the smell is secondary, you probably wouldn't make such a bracha in that many cases. Now, let's turn to what we do care about, which is perfumes, colognes, things like that. So do you make a bracha on perfumes and colognes, things that are synthetically made? So here we have a machlokas. I didn't bring the machlokas over here, but I will divide it between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes in a kovetz called Sohar, which is a Torah journal published in Eretz Yisrael. So he says that the perfume is man-made, and therefore there's no bracha. You made it. What are you thanking Hashem for? You made it. There's no bracha over there. And this is also the opinion of the Avnei Yashban, Chelek Beis, and the Vezos HaBracha in his discussion as well. And I saw in the recently published Aura of Shabbos from Simcha Bonim Cohen, who writes the Laws of Shabbos books for Art Scroll. So his latest book, he writes on page 264 that Rav Moshe Feinstein said there's no bracha on cologne. And that is the psak for Ashkenazim. We don't make brachos on synthetically made products, air freshener, Febreze, Swiffers, whatever, things like that. Whatever, if you like the smell, you don't like the smell. So synthetically made things, there's no bracha. However, Sfardim disagree. The Or L'Tzion of Ben Tzion Abba Shul writes in his Chuvas and Chelek Beis in Perek Mem Vav, the bracha is borei minei besamim, even on synthetically made things. This is the opinion of Ravaji Yosef in the Chazon of Ravaji, his Sefer on Brachos on Tu B'Shvat, and other Sfarim as well. His children, the Yalkut Yosef, repeat this. So Ravad Yosef felt that on synthetically made things, one can, if they choose to, make a bracha of Borei Mina B'Samim. For Ashkenazim, we will rely on Rosh Hashanah Zaman Arbach. Let's turn now to the very interesting discussion of in Esrov. This was raised last time. It is Sukkos, or before Sukkos, or after Sukkos, and you'd like to pick it up really for the purpose of smelling it, because it has such an amazing fragrance. You want to smell the Esrog. So this is also a very interesting discussion. The Shulchan Aruch writes over here, Hamariach be'esrog shall mitzvah mevarach alav. If you make a blessing on an Esrog that is designated for a mitzvah, the Esrog, what else do you have an Esrog during the year? Unless you buy citrons, but if an Esrog designated for the mitzvah, mevarach alav, you should make the bracha of Hanosin Reach Tov Beperos. V'yesh Omrim, there are those who say She'enu Mevarach, you should not make a bracha on it. Lakach, therefore, Nachon Shol Hariach Bo. Because of this machlokes, it is better not to smell it, to not put yourself in the situation of the Safek Bracha, to not actively go and partake of the fragrance of the Esrog itself. This is the opinion of the Bach and the Chayadim, the Kitzel Shulchan Aruch, and this is because why? The Safek Bracha, that you might be designated something that's not for smell. What is the purpose of the Esrog? Is it made for smelling? No. The purpose of the Esrog is to use it for the mitzvah. Similar to the discussion last time regarding the food. The purpose of the Esrog is for the mitzvah. And therefore, one, perhaps according to these opinions, one should not make a bracha on it because it's not its ideal purpose. And there, because of the Safek of this bracha, better to not smell your Esrog during Sukkos. If you cannot avoid it, you're holding the Lulav Esrog during davening or in the morning, you can't. If you smell it, you smell it. But to actively go and to make a big inhalation, to go and smell the Esrog, should not be done according to the Shulchan Aruch during the holiday of Sukkos, seemingly. The Mishnah Berurah notes that this is certainly the case when you're about to fulfill the mitzvah, since the main kavan is not for the smell. Definitely the case. Meaning the Shulchan Aruch doesn't have to tell you that. The Shulchan Aruch is not talking about the case where it's right before Hallel and you pick it up. Because certainly right then and there, the Kavanah is for the mitzvah. The discussion is if you pick it up with the express Kavanah to smell it. Even if your Kavanah is only, it's, you know, 11 o'clock at night, seemingly, and you pick up the Esrog because you just want to smell it, nothing's going on. So according to this understanding, that's where the discussion is being had. That you shouldn't do it, you shouldn't even smell it. Obviously, right before the mitzvah, you shouldn't do it. It's the time when the mitzvah is not going on. Now, the Magen Avraham writes that if you do smell it, there's no bracha. Let's say you couldn't control it, and I have to smell the Esrog. It's too much, I have to smell it. So if you do it, there's no bracha, because of the Safek bracha. And the Gra explains, Kevin she'ein ikara omid laharei, hareach, because it's not meant for smelling. This is the opinion of the Chayadim, the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Mishnah Berurah as well. Look at an amazing comment of the Machatzis HaShekel. The Machatzis HaShekel is a super commentary on the Magen Avraham. So he listens to what he writes. He quotes a famous medrash that we all know. Shekasuv shadal minim romzim ladal kisos shebisrael. We know that the four species of Sukkos correspond to four different types of Jews, right? We hear this medrash every year when it comes to Sukkos. Arava ein la tam ve ein la reich, it has no taste and no smell. Halidimyon b'nei adam she'ein biyadam lo Torah v'lo maisim tovim. This is compared to the person who has or is lacking in Torah and also lacking in midos. Hadas, the Hadas branch, yesh lo reach ve'en lo tam, it has a fragrance, but it doesn't have a good taste. Heim dimyon l'bnei adam, asher b'yadam, maisim tovim v'lo Torah. This is similar to the person who has good midos, but doesn't really know anything, not so knowledgeable in Torah. V'lulav, the lulav, yesh lo tam, it has the taste, dahainu tamarim, hagdilim bo, of the dates that grow on the date palm. Ve'en lo reach, but it does not have any smell, misukaso. Therefore, dimyon b'nei adam sheyesh b'hem Torah v'lo ma'isim tovim. The palm branch is compared to the person who has Torah but doesn't have midos. Esrog, says the Medrash, yesh lo tam v'reach, it has taste and both smell. Who dimyon b'nei adam sheyesh b'hem Torah ma'isim tovim is compared to the person who has Torah and good midos, right? All different parts of Klai Yisrael coming together in the lulav and the esrog. V'amra ha-Torah, yagdu ze im ze. You should bring them together. V'chapru ze al ze. And each one will have something the other one doesn't have. They'll come together as a tzibur, as a klal, and aguda echas, one coming together, and that will bring kapara for the Jewish people after Yom Kippur. V'sayim habach, and the Bach writes, V'lachein kol echad k'shemavarach al ha'esrog tzarech l'chavin kavanazu. When you make a bracha, when you pick up the esrog for the mitzvah of esrog, you should have kavana. I'm picking up the zalminim and the esrogim together to fulfill this idea to bring kapara for the Jewish people. She esrog ba l'mitzvah zu l'horos al ha'tzadikim sheish behem tam Torah v'reach ma'isim Torah. The person should have kavana that I'm picking up the esrog to represent those people of Torah and good midos. Im kain, says the Machs HaShekel, shaper avida mitzvah zu nami l'reach. Maybe one could argue that part of the mitzvah of the esrog is to smell it. Because what's the whole point? That you take the four species and you partake in all their different aspects and you experience them. It's an experiential mitzvah. And therefore maybe part of the mitzvah of esrog is to smell it, to recognize that it has the smell and the taste. And therefore he wants to argue, perhaps one could say you should smell, and it does have the aspect of being part of the mitzvah. Part of the mitzvah is designated the esrog should have a smell and a fragrance. It's a very nice idea pi machshava for a nice shir and Jewish thoughts, but we can't say that's halacha l'maisa. So still during, even though it's a very nice idea that maybe part of the mitzvah esrog is the smelling of it, it's not the practical halacha at the end of the day. Also, if you extend that, so then you should take a bite out of your hadas, and you should. It's hard to make such an argument that every single thing has to have, you know, all of the senses being fulfilled, the smell and the taste. It's a beautiful idea that perhaps one should smell the esrog, but that would not come out halacha lamaisa alone. And therefore, that would not be sufficient for the mitzvah. Okay? Now,
so would you say smell it after you make the bracha on your lulav?
I would say even though. No. I would say not even that. Well, this is the discussion right now. When does this apply? We haven't really clarified. Fine. You shouldn't smell the esrog during sukkahs. When during sukkahs? All of sukkahs? Or maybe only when one can fulfill the mitzvah. So here we have a bachlokus again, the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham writes over here in Sifkat and Chaf Aleph, Mashukasu b'shem Rashal, he quotes the name of the Maharshal, Roshom Aluria, Dafka b'shas nitzilaso l'shem mitzvah, avakozen l'chein achakach mivarach. It's only usher to smell the esrog in the time where the mitzvah is going on. You know you're going to be using the esrog and lulav during davening over sukkahs. So before davening, early in the morning, obviously you're not going to use it for the mitzvah there, take the esrog and smell it. Later on in the day, after lunch, everyone's home and you have the esrogim lying around, you can smell it then, says the Magen Avraham. The only issue is during the time when it's going to be fulfilled for the mitzvah. However, he is alone in this opinion. Writes the Taz, who is on the other side of the page of the Magen Avraham, he writes, Lefi shehu asui la'achila v'lezeh huksalo kol zayin. When is the mitzvah for... When is the mitzvah for partaking of the smells? And when is the mitzvah for partaking of the fragrance of the esrog? Of the mitzvah itself? All 7 days of sukkahs. What? It's not a mitzvah to have a ludal minim all seven? Of course it is. We only use it for a short while. But still the mitzvah is existing at all times. All the time, says the Taz, it should be usher to do it. Lav l'recho, kai. All 7 days. To b'shar yimos hashana kai l'achil l'reach. He says, you want to have a discussion about smelling the esrog the rest of the year? Have a great time. But all 7 days of sukkahs? Not appropriate at all. Ava b'sukkahs, kevin to lav l'achila. A l'mitzvah, all sukkahs is designated for the mitzvah. Batal mimenu gam ma'alas ha'reach. Therefore, we don't care about the smell of the esrog on sukkahs. And this Taz is side the halacha the Matzah Yehuda and the Maamar Mordechai and the Kitzel Shulchan Aruch Le'Elchel Shulchan. All the great poskim say that you should not smell the esrog at all during sukkahs, and that's how it would come out halacha l'maisa. The Derech HaChaim.
Sorry.
It's okay. The Derech HaChaim, the Rav Yaakov Leuberbaum. So he writes in his Sefer on Or HaChaim, he says that on Shabbos of sukkahs you can't smell the esrog. Why?
It's muktzah.
Because you can't use the esrog for the mitzvah. It's muksa, right? You're not going to use it. You can smell it then because it's not going to be used for the mitzvah, and therefore that would be perfectly fine. I wouldn't recommend it. I don't think that's the opinion of most poskim, but he says on Shabbos there might be a leniency. The Mishabur writes over here that Mi'ikar Adin, according to the letter of the law, he says, Nira de'ikar kamagan avram. Halach l'maisa, in principle, Ladina de Bishari Pamim Mukhomi Meachag Tsarh Lavarak Kishmeach Lukulayama. He says, in principle, I hear what the Magen Avraham is saying. Once I'm not using the esrog right now, it's fine. But since everyone jumps on the Magen Avraham and argues with him, he says, it is proper practice to not smell the Esrog all the days of Sukkot, only for the mitzvah, not for smelling. You want to smell the Esrog before Sukkot, have a great time. You want to smell it after Sukkot, have a great time. But on Sukkot, not appropriate because of this suffix, this issue regarding the bracha itself. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the Elia Rabba suggests that after Hoshana Ramba, on Shmini Atzeres you can smell it and make a bracha on the Esrog because the mitzvah is done. Right? Once they're used on Hoshana Ramba, it's fine. The Prima Gadim says that according to the Taz, this would not be correct because it's also technically part of the mitzvah. You shouldn't eat it as well as Shmini Atzeres. You shouldn't start chopping up your Esrog for Esrog jelly or turning it into Esrog vodka until after Shmini Atzeres. However, according to the Magen Avraham, it would be allowed since the mitzvah has been completed. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes in Halicha Shlomo that since it's only used for a mitzvah, perhaps even before the Chag, one shouldn't make the brach of Anosin Reach Tov Peros because that's part of the preparation. Meaning, before Sukkot, what's the role of the Esrog? In preparation of the mitzvah. After Sukkot, you know, do whatever you want with it. You could stick it with cloves and turn it into whatever you want, turn it into a besamim, whatever it may be. But Shlomo Zalman feels that before Sukkot, maybe it's also proper to be machmer to not smell it. I don't know if everybody agrees to that, but certainly interesting opinion. Let's turn now to bread, because the last comment in this siman in Shulchan Aruch, in this section in Shulchan Aruch, is regarding bread. Look at the Ramah.
Hold on, I have one question.
Yeah.
What about when you're picking out your esrog?
Don't smell.
Everybody smells it.
Smells it, hair. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman felt maybe it's better to refrain, but I don't think that's
but
the
that's before Sukkot, anyway.
Yeah.
So you can smell before Sukkot.
So Rosh Shlomo Zalman wanted to argue that since before Sukkot, it's in the preparation
ready,
of the mitzvah.
Obviously what
are you going to that guy for to pay $100 for a lemon? It's not, for anything else besides the mitzvah.
Right.
So since it's in the preparation, he feels one should be machmer. I don't, again, if you look around, go out into the streets, you see that that's not the minute. People do smell the esrog before Sukkot.
With the bracha.
With a bracha. So in this case, I would say, since people don't really eat, esrog.
Minority
people eat it, especially straight up. That's for sure, straight. And then especially some people are particular. Some people use a Yemenite esrog. The Taimani esrog has no flesh at all. It's all pulp with seeds. So there, it definitely can't be eaten. So in that case, one could definitely argue to make a bracha of anosin reach tov peperos. I would hear. I could hear this, especially if you pick it up with the express understanding that you're using it to smell.
Right.
No, you're not going to. Nobody picks up the esrog to eat it.
No.
Because you're not going to eat it right, and you're not going to cut it open and take a big bite. It's going to be way long until you actually partake of anything that resembles what the esrog's food is. So certainly, in that case, I would make a anosin reach tov peperos. If you're going to do it beforehand.
And if you have an esrog tree, like I know my brother does.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming they smell it before they know if it's ripe.
Yeah, probably it's fine. Well, in that case, you might want it. Is it fragrant? Is it fragrant enough to make the smell?
I don't know.
Not sure.
It's probably the same idea when you pick up the cantaloupe to check.
Correct, the same idea. You have to know. You can take a taste, smell first, and then check it out afterwards. The Rama writes as follows, based on this discussion, Yesh omrim dehame riach bepas cham, freshly baked bread. Comes straight out of the oven, okay? Yesh lo levarech, he said, I have a special bracha for bread, says the Rama. Shenasan riach tov bepas, that he has a pleasant smell for bread. This is the Avud Raham in the Beis Yosef, we'll discuss this in a moment. Okay, and then he says, Yesh omrim de'ein levarech alav, maybe you shouldn't make a bracha on it. Therefore, one should not actively go, says the Rama, and actively inhale freshly baked hot bread. That's what the Rama says. This is based on a machlok. So what's the machlok? It's the Beis Yosef, not over here, by Havdalah. In Siman Reish Tadi, Zion cites the Kolbo. The Kolbo is an anonymous sefer, written by one of the Rishonim. In Siman Chaf Tazu says that there are those people who didn't have Besamim Motei Shabbos. They were too poor. They didn't have besamim. There wasn't any available. So what would they do? They would make a bracha of borei mine besamim on bread. They would have bread. Maybe they would bake freshly made bread on Motzei Shabbos for Malava Malka. The Vilna Gaon was always makpit to have freshly baked bread on Motzei Shabbos for his Malach Malka, for his Suda after Shabbos. So they would make a bracha on this and make a bracha of Borei Neimer B'Samim. So the Beis Yosef writes that this only works if the bread is hot. If it's not hot, then it's not going to give off that aroma. Cold bread doesn't have the same thing as hot bread. And the Orach Chaim argues, and he says that the bracha of Borei Mine B'Samim is not appropriate, because it's not true, it's not B'Samim. Therefore, he says, I have a new bracha, Hanosen Reach Tov B'Pas, which is what the Rama quoted. The Beis Yosef concludes, and he questions such a bracha. We just make up brachos in the middle of, you know, the period of the Rishonim. We don't make up brachos that aren't from the time of the Gemara. I think there should be a bracha on bread. Says who? The Chazal didn't make such a bracha on bread. You can't go make your new brachas. So the Rama cites all this, the above machlokas, as we said, and he says it's better not to smell it. This is the opinion of the Chayadim, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Ketzos HaShulchan, and the Magen Avraham writes as well that if you do smell bread, you shouldn't make a bracha. And this is the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah and Rav Avi Yosef in the Vilna Gaon. So that's what we're left with. When it comes to freshly baked bread, one should not actively go and smell it, to go over to the bread and really breathe deeply. If you do, then there's no bracha. According to the Rama, that's how halacha comes out. Let's end with this idea, with one last issue that comes up, and then we'll discuss, perhaps next time we meet again, we'll discuss some loose ends regarding brachas.
We started
at 9:30 or
9:45?
9:45.
So it's only
until
10:15? Right. No. And then he does brachas.
Oh,
okay, no, because I'm like, wow, I really came late.
No. So, the discussion regarding Havdalah, what I'm going to have to tell you is pretty much theoretical, but it's an interesting discussion nonetheless. There is an opinion, and this is brought down by Rav Moshe Sternbach in Shuvas Vanagos and Chelik Beis in Simon Kuf Lama Dalet, where he is unsure about people who smell Besamim by Havdalah. He says, when you smell the Besamim by Havdalah, are most people smelling it because they want the Hana, the pleasure of the aroma, or are they doing it because you're supposed to smell Besamim by Havdalah? So he's not sure. He says, if you're doing it because you enjoy the smell, so you should make a bracha on it. But if you're doing it for the mitzvah, then why is that different than smelling something that's food or smelling something that's designated for something else? What? The esrog, like, right? It's designated for a mitzvah. You're smelling it not because you love the aroma of cloves or cinnamon. He says, or at least pick something that you like. Don't pick something for Havdalah that you don't like the smell of just because it has an aroma. Moses, he feels that many people don't actually enjoy smelling Besamim. They do it because that's what you do by Havdalah. And he said, if that's the case, he says, maybe you shouldn't have Besamim by Havdalah. Right? Why do you have Besamim by Havdalah? Because the Neshama is sad that the Neshama Yaseir, the extra Neshama, is leading by Moshe Shabbos, and it's good for it. Okay. But, so don't make a bracha then. You don't have to make a bracha if you're doing it for just because of that, but you're not enjoying it. Maybe your shamma is enjoying it, whatever it is. So he feels that maybe the person's not getting a hana, and therefore you shouldn't make a bracha on such a case. And such a bracha is only meant for the mitzvah, and it might be a bracha of atala. He says, smell the besamim, that you should do. But why are you making a bracha for if you're not getting hana?
Wait, didn't you say a couple of weeks ago that if somebody was going to serve you pig and it was the last thing that you were going to eat, or they were going to kill you, you should make a bracha on it.
Yeah.
So wouldn't that be the same thing? Why make a bracha on it? You're not going to like it.
So,
you're not
going to smell it.
Eat it.
Don't make a bracha, though. I'm saying, because so, that's a little bit different. Nobody's forcing you to smell. But in this case, you're doing it, you want the aroma, or the fragrance, because of the Neshama Yaseir Amosu Shabbos. Do I have to make a bracha on it? The two things are exclusive. It's not designated for smell in this case. It's become designated for a mitzvah and not for smell. So that's the suggestion that he makes. Does anybody agree with this? It's discussed. There seems to be the minhag of the Chafetz Chaim, the author of the Mishnah Berurah. We have such a Kabbalah. If you look over here, this is the Sefer Divrei Chachamim. Divrei Chachamim is a collection of questions and answers that were posed to different Rabbanim by Rabbi Ginsburg of the Chavetz Chaim, the shul over there in Cedarhurst. Yeah. So he wrote this, I don't know how long ago, maybe 30 years ago, of different Rabbanim that he knew, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Yaakov Kamenetsky, and there he records the following tradition. He says, Yesh shenoagim shelo levarech al besamim mitam safek bracha. There are some people who don't make a bracha on the besamim because of the safek. Keitzad tzrichen lemaisa nag. What should we do? Tshuva. So what was the answer given? Mahaposkim shemata. I heard from different poskim. Shemi she'ein lo minag bedafka shel levarach. If a person doesn't have the minag to not make a bracha, you know, kechol shar b'nei Yisrael, mochil levarach, you have to make the bracha, right? If you, unless you have a kabbalah from your parents that you don't make a bracha on besamim by havdalah, so then keep on doing what you're doing. Umirabenu shamati. I heard from my rebbe shekiva my aviv. I think his rebbe was Rav Henoch Leibowitz. Who heard from his father of David Leibowitz, who heard from the Chafetz Chaim. That's why Yeshivas Chafetz Chaim is named Yeshivas Chafetz Chaim, because David Leibowitz learned by the Chafetz Chaim. Shelo levarech al besamim b'havdala kemen she'ein anu nenim kol kach merecho. We shouldn't make a bracha of Zala by the besamim and by havdala, because we really don't enjoy it so much. V'chein shamati, I heard Magon Rav, I'm not sure who this is referring to, Salavichik. I don't think it's Rav Salavichik from YU. Maybe it's Rav Beryl Soloveitchik, I'm not sure. Shein anu yodim b'diyuk ma'u b'samim v'havi safik bracha. We're not exactly sure what b'samim is. I don't know what that means. We don't know what b'samim is. I don't know what that means. Now, was this quoted any place else? So the Sefer Bir Halacha, he writes in his Madura Kama by Havdal and Reish Sadi Zayin, Pam echas shal orech, one time a guest asked the Chafetz Chaim, Zecher levrach l'chayim haba, lama lo hishtamish v'b'samim? And the Chafetz, he saw the Chafetz Chaim wasn't using b'samim by Havdalah. V'analo, he told him, Mipnei sheharbe yotzim yidei chova. Because many people try to be yotzei the chiyuv of Havdalah. V'yavo lahariach b'besamim. And they're always looking around for the besamim. V'yafsidu birchas Havdalah. And they don't pay attention to the bracha by Havdalah. The final bracha of Malbim Kol Shelcha, right? You're at a group with a lot of people. And everyone's worrying about the smell. They're passing around, everyone's passing around the cloves. And you're not paying attention to the last bracha. And you're distracted. You're not paying attention to what's going on. So he got rid of making a besamim. Because they're ruining the main part of the Havdalah, because they're focusing on the besamim, not the bracha of Havdalah itself, of Hamadim and Kodesh Lachal. That's reason number two. So the Sefer called Reach HaSadeh. I forgot what it's called in English, but they write in chapter 7. The author writes, he quotes the Divrei Chachamim, and then he says, Shamati, I heard from the Briska Rav, the Griz, Shalom Berach al Besam Havdalah. The Briska Rav didn't make the bracha of besamim by Havdalah as well. And he quotes the Bir Halacha, and then he says, Harav Hagon, Altar Henoch Leibowitz, of Henoch Leibowitz, Amar, he heard that the Chafetz Chaim, Amar Zek Kadei Lishtamein V'Hatam HaRishon Iker, that he tried just to, the real reason is the first one, that he doesn't get so much enough from it, and he came with the second reason, just, you know, people shouldn't bother him so much about his minag. But that was the meaning of the Chafetz Chaim, to not use besamim Havdalah, or to make a besamim, but not make the bracha, whatever it may be.
So they didn't sleep in besamim?
That's what it sounds like, in the house of the Chafetz Chaim. That was the
Wouldn't it make more sense to just find something you like?
I'm not sure. I don't, maybe there wasn't such a selection in Radin. Maybe they couldn't go to the store and get 100 different spices. So that's what he did. But certainly, one should be careful, when it comes to Havdalah, to pick something that you like. If you don't like it, then go to the store, find something that's a besamim, that's a bori min besamim, and choose that as a bracha.